none of that. He was playing games.
He was. Loki got arrested. Listen. And I was like, and I was like, yeah, but you know, he still looked good. Like trying to fix someone.
What's good? My name's Nuria.
And my name is Caroline.
This is the Cathartic Experience. Two therapists talking about life
in an unfiltered way.
Hello, and welcome to episode 11.
Crazy.
It's crazy. We're so far. We are so far into this thing. We didn't think we'd get to this many episodes, but today we will be talking about infidelity.
Yes.
Yeah, but before we begin, how are you?
I'm doing good. I feel like it's also important to add welcome to the, I guess, the new people, like the new listeners.
Yeah, we've been getting quite a few new
listeners.
So welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome into the space. Pull in a chair.
Have a seat at our dinner table.
How am I? I'm good. I'm trying to drink more water. I'm trying to get my life in order.
It always starts with the H2O.
How are you?
Why is that the first thing people do when they try to get their lives together?
Because you're supposed to drink like 8 bottles or whatever, 8 glasses a day, and I'm like, hey, I'm barely getting one. Like,
I'm getting every other beverage. I'm like,
but water.
I hope the water content is in this piece because I'm a Diet Coke gal.
Open.
But how am I doing? I'm tired, but I'm getting things done, which makes me feel good about being tired.
Good. Like when you see the work that you've accomplished.
Yeah.
So I wasn't tired for no reason. I did something.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, I think this week I've really had to think about my fear of going through life and not getting anything done.
Mm-hmm.
And then having this thing where I overcompensate and do too much. And then it's hard for me to sleep or maintain relationships or take care of myself. So it's like, I really have to ask myself how this balance thing is going to happen.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
One step at a time.
There's no need to rush.
But there is.
Infidelity.
Infidelity. Oh, gosh. Yeah. You know, this is a really, really big one because it's so controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because it's based in so much betrayal, a lot of people judge it instead of wanting to understand it. So I just want to highlight, like, for this podcast, you know, remain open, remain curious.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going in judging things. We're trying to understand, you know, why people may cheat, what may lead them to, what's going on in terms of the mentality, how they view relationships. So we're more so curious. We're not necessarily going to be like, so if you are a person who gets triggered by, you know, anything cheated related, you could try to sit through this. But if it doesn't rock with you, you don't got to listen to it either.
That's okay.
It's okay.
It's a sensitive subject.
It is.
I guess we can talk. We can start by talking about, love and how many people see, like, because someone cheated on them, that means they don't love them. And it's like like there is a difference between being monogamous and love, and I feel like sometimes people confuse these two things because it is a decision to be monogamous, same thing as it is a decision to be, you know, to stay in love with someone.
You started in the personal and you went societal, but there are so many things to take into account. First of all, you know, what is love?
It's a concept.
It is a concept, but I think that oftentimes, you know, when you grow up watching Disney, watching all these movies and people have love interests, you're never really seeing the actual hard times. Mm-hmm. It's usually when they get together, the movie ends.
Right.
It's like happily ever after. Mm-hmm. But it's
and then
just
credits.
Like, what happens after the ever after, though?
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people use that as kind of like a marker. Like, well, I want to... What is it on Netflix? Like, there's this To All the Boys I used to love or whatever. And they're like, I want what they have. And I'm like, yeah, but that's like a movie. Or that's like a show. You know, like, it's a show. We're not talking about it's everything, the ending is always positive. And it's like, that's not, this right. is real life. And so there is this idea about like romanticizing love and how it's supposed to look like. And when yeah. it doesn't look like that, it means that maybe it's not love. And it's like, well, let's backtrack a little bit.
And right? I think this is a mistake I've made often, mm-hmm. particularly in, for example, telling people I love them too early. Mm-hmm. Because as that attachment, as you're getting to know someone, your hormones are kicking in, you're feeling all the good hormones, and because you feel good, you're in a place where you're romanticizing them, idealizing them, mm-hmm. wanting to be with them all the time, and you say, you know, I love you. But I think for me, what I've learned over time mm-hmm. is love derives from the moments that are difficult, the moments that you don't want to right. listen, you don't want to work with the person, but you still do. Mm-hmm. And to get through that, to choose to stick to the person, to stick with the person, that is love. Because we could all have good times.
Right.
We could all chop it up, like right. kiki, all this stuff, but it's about who's really there with you, working with you during a difficult mm-hmm. period that you're having.
Right. And I feel like you're so right on like idealizing. I was top on idealizing relationships. Mm-hmm. And I remember being in this one particular, I'm like, yeah, da, 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 he's great, he's awesome. And you're just there, like, I remember you telling me, but what does he bring to your life? He's
I remember that period of your life, and I think I was so, I remember feeling very frustrated.
Because you're like, bruh.
Because he was like not really doing anything. And it's almost like you felt like you had to worship the ground that he was walking mm-hmm. on, and you were very worried about him and how right. he would think about you. Like, it became so much about what he thought about you mm-hmm. that you didn't acknowledge whether your needs were being met or not.
No.
And he wasn't meeting none of that. He was playing games. He was. The
so yeah, Loki got arrested. Listen. And I was like, And I was like, yeah, but you know, he still looked good. Like, trying to fix someone. And I feel like that speaks to maybe the next thing we can talk about unmet needs in a relationship.
What may lead someone to infidelity? Unmet right. needs. And I think this is a really, really big one, because unmet needs are so subconscious. Mm-hmm. They're so subconscious. Like, when I was in my very first relationship, and by the way, let's go back to the parents real quick. Really good at demeaning me and reducing me down and down to size and making me feel like I didn't have anything to contribute. So I had a really low self-esteem and low confidence growing up. Yeah. So I enter this relationship, little did I know, all those wounds were going to come back times 10. Right. And relationships, romantic relationships, are where people experience most pain because they start reenacting things from their childhood. Ooh, Lord. I remember the first week I officially dated this person. By the way, I had to wait a month for this person to tell me that they wanted to commit. That was the worst month of my life because I was trying to read into what everything meant. Mm-hmm. I was like, am I worthy enough for him to like me? For him to put a label? I was an extra mess during that. Mm-hmm. But when it finally happened, I remember a week into it, I was walking with him. And I looked at him and I was like, at some point you're going to decide that I'm not good enough and you're going to want to be with somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I said that impromptu, like out of nowhere when we were walking. And I look back now and I'm just like, wow, that is like a testament to how low my self-esteem was. But throughout the relationship, because my self-esteem was so low, so many little things kind of like got to me and I felt bad about myself in a lot of different ways. And unfortunately, I did end up seeking comfort in someone I had dated prior. Mm-hmm. And my reasoning behind doing that was because that person knew how to navigate me and my emotions.
Right.
Like, they were more likely to give me that praise, mm-hmm. that kind of comfort, that kind of, you're insecure, but it's okay. Whereas for the other person, it was just like, if you're insecure, get over it. Like, right. what do you want me to do about it type thing.
But so, there were other things going on in that relationship, right?
There were a lot of other things, but I think it all amounted to me not feeling loved or cared for.
Right. And I think it highlights, I was listening to an Esther Perel video, and she was saying you're not looking for another person, you're looking for another self. Like, not recognizing yourself in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And how, like, someone is not, like, having difficulty expressing your needs, but also that, like, this person doesn't see you.
And I think that's what happens often. When you come from a place of seeking validation, mm-hmm. when validation is the only goal, you don't pay attention to your needs.
Right. Sometimes you don't even know what your needs are.
Sometimes you don't know what your needs are.
You just, oh, I want it to look like this. But it's right. like, but we, you're not in that other relationship. And so what is it that... what is it that you need in your relationship? Right?
Yeah, it's...
it's a lot.
And I don't want to excuse people's choice for seeking it elsewhere, but mm-hmm. unmet needs are oftentimes the main driver
right.
for people going out of their relationships, to, whether it's sexual intimacy.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Or, sorry, go ahead.
Or sensual contact, like yeah. cuddling, kisses. Or feeling loved or cared for, or mm-hmm. feeling smart. These are all such important underlying human needs, and mm-hmm. sometimes we don't know what to do when we don't get it, so that we go outside and we seek it, and when we get it, it feels really good.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that we don't feel guilty.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's also the guilt that you have to deal with. But I feel like up until the point that like becoming a therapist and sitting with clients who are dealing with infidelity known by a partner or unknown by a partner is when I started to understand this thing about a relationship being a two-way street and how someone can sacrifice so much and almost like lose themselves in the relationship and almost like they're cheating, or you know, it's not that it's like dignified, but it's like you kind of like you see them. You know, to say like, I'm not saying that, you know, there was other ways, but I'm seeing I can understand that it got you to that point because you weren't being seen in your relationship. All of the decisions were being made by the other party. You were compromising yourself.
Right. I think we sit in a very
special,
privileged position to be able to see what goes on behind the scenes. And I think what happens is that we see the vulnerability. A lot of people, when they think about or look at cheating, they always think it comes from this evil
place
where it's like, I intend to harm you and harm you only.
Mm-hmm.
Where oftentimes it's actually about the person themselves hurting.
Yes. Yes.
And it's so interesting to experience that vulnerability of, wow, you didn't feel cared for, special, important. You didn't feel any of these things in your relationship. And again, not making an excuse for it, but making room to understand what was happening internally. And I think people who, you know, one of the things I was scared of, especially in my own experience, was this kind of judgment of once a cheater, always a cheater.
Listen.
And I think it comes with, like, people say it's part of your character now, and it's like when you've done something like that, you feel so ashamed.
Yeah, and it's there's also the fact that people, like, when you, after that happens and you go out into the world and you're trying to date and you're asked that question, have you ever cheated? And if you say yes, it's almost like, I can't deal with you. And it's like, well, listen to my story, you know? And it's almost like people have, you know, you have that letter on you now, and it's all that you can ever be. And it's like, why can't it just be part of my story? It doesn't need to represent me entirely, right?
I think one of the most healing experiences I ever had was with this guy. I wasn't really, I mean, we got along very well. I wasn't really sexually attracted to him, but we went on a date, like a really short date. And I remember it was like right after that relationship where that happened for me. And then I was sitting there and talking to him and told him what happened on my end and why I did what I did and where I was coming from. And he's like, it's okay. Like, things happen in life.
Right.
And you don't have to beat yourself up over this. And I'm sure you're a very genuine and kind person. And it was so refreshing to kind of see him sit there and just take it in and then provide me mm-hmm. with the same level of empathy as if I were the person who was cheated on.
Right. Like, that's so rare.
That's so rare. And it was so right. beautiful. And it mm-hmm. made me feel so okay with learning more about that experience and accepting it as something I did and seeing what lessons right. I could use for future relationships mm-hmm. and how I could grow to communicate. I think looking back at that experience really taught me so, so, so much about myself that I don't think I would have learned if I didn't have that experience.
Okay. It's almost like you needed that to grow almost. Ooh, in a way.
Internally Listen. And in relationships. Mm-hmm.
And I get that because sometimes like when you're in it, you're like, this is never going to end, or what have I done? Or, you know, this is the worst moment of my life. And later you're able to see, you know what? I kind of needed that. I needed that breakup, even if it broke me. I needed that breakup. But I wanted to talk a little bit about like repairing the damage, you know, how partners are supposed to go about that. And I think the first thing is honesty, right? Like coming from the person who did cheat, a level of honesty about, okay, how many times, with whom, like details about what happened. Because if there's no honesty, how are you supposed to build back up with that person if you don't trust them now?
But it depends on how much the other person wants to know.
There's that too. Yeah.
Sometimes they don't want to know. And I think, honestly, when infidelity happens, the responsibility is on the party who was cheated on.
Yeah.
Because you have to sit in here and ask yourself, can you yourself work through that? Are you willing to? Are you willing to sit with that pain? Are you willing to think about, oh, if this person is not with me, who are they with? Are you willing to feel anxious and wanting to check phones and stuff like that? Like, it's a personal choice. You don't have to put yourself through rebuilding infidelity. You were cheated on.
Right.
Your trust was betrayed. You decide whether you want to be patient and move forward, or whether you find it internally, psychologically better to just call it a day and end the relationship. And a lot of people feel pressure to hold on to their relationships and make it work past that. All the while, it's causing them the most amount of pain they've ever been in their entire lives. You don't have to be in pain. And it hurts that you were cheated on, but you don't have to continue to be in that pain, especially if you feel like you can't handle it.
But that is such a new concept, though, because people are used to, okay, we're going to work through this, you know, like divorce is not an option. And there is this like culture of figure it out, work through this, things will get better, right? Things will get better. You know, this is just a moment in time. And it's like, yes, that is possible, but are you willing to work through it? Sometimes, like, when you...
Sometimes you can't. Infidelity, sometimes you can't.
You can't get past it.
You can't even look at the person the same way. Maybe you don't even feel loving feelings towards them, and you just feel like you hate them half the time now.
Resentment,
a whole bunch of that. But I think it is on that person to decide whether they want to. And they have that right to decide. And the person who cheated will beg you and beg you and beg you to stay, to work on it. But it's entirely your choice.
And I think maybe we can talk about, like, the way that we idealize partners. How, like, a partner is supposed to be everything in a bag of chips for you. Like, they're supposed to be your lover, your friend, the person you can have, like, intellectual conversations with, the person that you're going to handle finances with, like, kids. Like, they're supposed to be everything. And it's like, well, that's not true, right? No. Like, if I'm trying to have an intellectual conversation about psychology or philosophy, I'd much rather come to you than go to my partner. Not because he's not capable of doing that, but you know more about the field of psychology than he does. Right.
And there is a lot of pressure for everyone to be everything for their partner. And this brings us to the conversation of, you know, monogamy versus non-monogamy and what that looks like.
Yeah.
And some people are naturally non-monogamous. And I think it's something that as I step more into that identity...
But they get judged for it.
They get judged for it so badly.
Yeah.
And the more I step into that identity, the more I'm like, oh... I genuinely prefer mm-hmm. short-term relationships with people. Like, I don't want to necessarily, I don't necessarily want to be caged into this idea of mm-hmm. one person for life forever.
Right.
Like, that's something I would not prefer. Whereas mm-hmm. other people would prefer to have one person for life forever. But when you're coming from this place of being non-monogamous and everyone else is like, well, monogamy is the way. It's mm-hmm. like you get caged into this place right. where it's like, but this is not... And often, that's a whole other podcast. Yeah. but sometimes non-monogamous people find themselves in monogamous relationships and they operate in non-monogamous ways.
Right.
So that is a mismatch right mm-hmm. then and there.
But I think it's important to talk about that before, like, entering into the relationship. Like, setting up almost, like, boundaries and rules to this.
You know, people don't talk about shit like that.
Until it hits the fan.
Like, honestly, like, talk about your relationships. What the fuck are you doing? Right. I don't understand how people... And sorry if you took it. I didn't mean to yell at you. I didn't mean to yell at you that moment. But
low-key, get your things together.
Get your shit together. That's the only way to say it. Mm-hmm. How are you going to move in with someone and not know what their values, fears, strengths, weaknesses, how they handle finances, how they communicate, how they handle their emotions? How are you going to go into a long-term commitment with someone
and never
find out about these things? Mm-hmm. I don't understand how people do this shit.
I know. Yeah.
I truly don't.
I know, but it is an important conversation to have, right?
It really is. Mm-hmm. It really is. But yeah, when it comes to infidelity itself, I think, it's just so complex and complicated. There's so many different things, but it's really, I think on our end, it's finding out what it is about for that person. Mm-hmm. And if you are in a place where you are compulsively cheating and lying on someone over and over and over and over again,
right?
Please just accept that you're that person and put the other person out of their pain.
But I feel like the other person also has to wake up and realize, I can't keep doing this.
True. That is true, because it's usually the other person taking them back, and that
accepting that behavior.
Yeah, that reinforces the fact that there are no consequences if I step out on you, because you're going to take me back
anyway. You're going to take me back anyway, because we've been through this a couple of times, and you've taken me back. And so, when it comes to that, I think it's a work on yourself, right? Go to therapy! How come you're in this structure of going back to something that's hurting you?
Go to therapy, practice self-compassion, because you can love someone and not have to be with them.
Listen, yeah.
And it's the worst pain and it's the most grieving. But when you convince yourself that this is the only person you'll ever love, mm-hmm. you've already lost.
Yeah. And I think there is an element of like growing a certain amount of like self-respect and you know, like, would I want this for a friend? No. Why am I doing this to my, like, why am I continuing to be in this cycle of people cheating on me?
You have to realize, you have to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Some people need self-protection.
Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to a much bigger conversation about why is it that I would rather be in a relationship and be cheated on than to be alone, than to be single. Right. What about singleness that I can't accept?
Right.
Right? Because sometimes, listen, being single could be a great thing for you.
But you don't know.
Like, all of that energy of checking his phone, right? Who were you with today? Mm. Tracking, you know, like, it's so much energy. That energy could be channeled
into
a book, a project, you know what I mean?
Aspirations, goals.
Yeah.
So a lot of people lose a lot of themselves in mm-hmm. these situations, but just know that you don't have to. And if you need help getting to the place where you want to feel more confident about these decisions, it's going to be important to consult someone.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a therapist, a trusted friend, whoever that is. But you need to work through that. Mm-hmm. You need to work through
that. Because you don't want that to be your life story.
You don't. But I think we can definitely talk more about infidelity in another podcast. Right, definitely. In more depth, because there are so many layers to this.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a good introduction. So reflection question this week. What is it going to be?
What is it going to be?
What would happen? Or what has happened when someone has been unfaithful to you?
Or has that happened to you before?
And are you okay with how you responded? Or how would you respond if it hasn't happened?
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I just want people to think about that. We'll definitely continue to talk about infidelity. But with that, we leave you with...